Good morning. This is Sunday, May 7th. We are on the last class that was given in Chicago in 1990 by Herb Fitch. Class number 8, Living the God Life. And he begins with, "Today is our Christ Day, and so I'm going to presume that we're all identifying ourselves as Christ. That means we have about 165 individuals who are saying, 'Today I am Christ.' And with that assumption, we'll have to live in the kingdom of heaven. Our words, our attitudes, our activities, as far as we can control them, will be Christ actions, Christ words." And that's kind of a wrong choice of words, because you don't control them. Our words, our attitudes, our activities, as far as we can bear witness to them, will be Christ actions, Christ words. Now, I'm going to show you something here. Hang on, I gotta find it. Okay, we will first look at Herb Fitch in 1990. And he says, "I suggest that you take into consciousness an hour a day that you are I, the Christ. And when that meditation is over, you're going to walk out as I, the Christ. And during that meditation, you will be listening for the Christ voice, the Christ impulse, the Christ instruction." Now that's Herb Fitch in 1990. Now here is Joel Goldsmith in 1930-something, almost 60 years earlier. Listen to what he says. "Make a definite effort every day to remember that you are the manifestation of God's being, which is Christ, of course, that you are life, God expressed, that you are the Word made flesh, that you are incorporeal, spiritual, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For in Him we live and move and have our being. And so make an effort to remember that you are in the secret place of the Most High, and that this is true of all men, regardless of any appearance to the contrary." Now, it sure sounds identical to me. The words are different, but the principles are the same. You and I have to make an effort to remember who we are. And it starts right now. And so, Herb says, you'll find that your activities will be guided and they will run more smoothly. We've talked about that. It's a kind of synchronicity. And you know when you're in it. You come out of a meditation, you have to do some shopping. You're not really looking forward to it, but you come out of a meditation and you're feeling your Christ identity. Perhaps you're feeling the Christ identity of everyone and everything. So you drive down to Walmart and you drive toward the door you like to go into, and there's a parking space right there. And you pull in, gee, isn't that nice? And you walk inside and they have a sale on exactly what you needed. And you take it up to the front and there's lines everywhere. and you get behind a couple of people and they both say, go on up front, you've only got that one item. Thank you. And you go up front, you buy your item, you go back to your car. Wow, synchronicity. I love it. You drive home, you make every green light. My wife used to talk about that. Being in harmony and making every green light. Because you're practicing your Christ identity. And so Herb said it in the 90s. Joel said it in the 30s. And I'm saying it now in the 2023s. It will be as if you had graduated from law to grace. Things slide effortlessly along. People ask me a lot of the time, how do you know when it's God's will? It's simple. Because things slide effortlessly along. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't make an effort to fill out applications and hand in resumes if you don't have a job right now and you want one. It doesn't mean that you don't make that kind of effort. It means that doors open almost by themselves. You find yourself in the right place at the right time. The person interviewing says, you're exactly what I was hoping for. I had one fellow went to the director and said, you'll never believe what just came into my office. And he hired me on the spot. So there's this thing called harmony. And when you're in the presence, you're in the presence of harmony. Because the presence is your consciousness. It's your conscious awareness. Things slide effortlessly along, as long as you don't look back or look ahead, but just do what's given you to do at the moment you're given it. You'll find you're living a charmed life. At this instant, we're meeting, we're talking, we're listening, and this split second is the only second that God speaks to you. When that second is gone, if you turn to the past or the future, you're signing off from God. It's a habit you'll develop because you'll notice the difference is clear cut. Oh, yes. If you have to force something, it's wrong. That's what I've taught 121 kids and hopefully myself. If you have to force it, it is wrong. Now, I learned that, the first time I learned that was in a factory setting. I was turning the screw, and I forced that thing down, and it snapped off. Then we had to get the drill and drill it out. And we had to go to the next size larger. I think it was an 8. The size of the screw, and so we had to go up to a 10 because the hole was now bigger, having had to drill it out. And the guy that did it said, it's never right if you force it. And he was right. If you have to force it, it's wrong. If you have to lie or cheat or steal in order to get the job you wanted, it's wrong. You should be living in harmony. This Christ presence should be going before you, opening doors before you get there. I told you about the experience of not knowing where I was going or where the building was or what. I knew what town it was in, but that's all. so I headed in the general direction of the town, and I zigzagged down through one town to get there. And when I got there, I came out on a main avenue and looked across the street, and there was the place. And I was right on time. And that's the fellow that said, "You'll never believe what just walked into my office." Well, if doors open almost by themselves and you're finding yourself in the right place at the right time and you're saying the right words, Christ is beginning to live your life. And like Paul, "I live, yet not I, Christ liveth my life." That's beginning to happen to you. It's beginning to happen to us. And Herb says, "When I am living in the now, and not in the past or in the future, not an hour ago or an hour from now, but in the split second, God is my voice, my life, my everything. The split second is when God comes to you. You'll find that proven as you develop the capacity to live in the present split second. So that 24 hours a day become as many split seconds as there are in a day. Your split seconds, one after the other, keep you on the straight and narrow. And you'll be surprised how grace will function your life. The law makes you subject to the rules of matter, and they go from one extreme to another. They contradict each other, and they make of you a prisoner within the material body. The law of grace is very different. You don't realize it when you're acting within the law of grace that you're not in a material body. You don't even think of it. You don't think of bodies. But in the law of grace, you're living in a spiritual body. And when it's called to your attention, you discover something that has been true all along. The ground is hardly under your feet. You're walking about 3 feet above the ground, it seems. There's no effort to anything. You're just doing things, but something else is doing them for you. And when you reach that stage where the wonder of it steps through into your life, where you know that I've got to have something over here right now, and then it appears there. As you begin to get these subtle feelings of anything can happen, but it will all be controlled, it will all be under divine control. Now, this is real. This really is living the God life. And it begins with a simple meditation. Where you appear to be, I am. Now I'm looking at my material body sitting in a chair. Where you appear to be, I am. I, Christ, and the Father are one. And I am the way, the truth, the life, your life. And my harmony goes with you, and my love goes with you. It's a harmony that you find yourself living. It's a love that you find yourself giving. And what a life it is. One time, Madeline and I went on a cruise to the Bahamas, and we got off the ship to walk around a little bit in the, what is it, the main island. Anyway, we were in the Bahamas and we met this lady who was starting a spiritual retreat. She had a whole lot of land and she was starting the spiritual retreat, and we met with her and we talked, gave her a few ideas, and we were just in sync with each other. It was wonderful. Never met her before, and yet she was walking this path, and we ran into her on accident. I mean, we met her on accident. We didn't run into her. But she had a wonderful idea, and it's probably going today. I haven't been back there. So things like that happen, and you get to where you know you're walking in harmony, or the opposite is true, and you've sunk back down into mortality, and you're living a life that's bumpy and rocky, and you have to force things, and it's inharmonious. But this other life, where the wind comes upon you, the presence, and you know not where it came from or where it's going, only that it's here in this split second. And so Herb says, you feel this subtle guidance, like you've tuned on something automatic. No, turned on something automatic. Then, whatever you do under that influence is a God activity that will be bearing fruit. And it will bear fruit in such a way that you will be achieving things you hadn't planned that day. That's just what I was talking about. It'll just keep mounting up and mounting up until you're in a new plateau. You won't know what's coming next, just as you didn't know what was coming an hour ago. That's the wind that Jesus spoke of. But something took care of it, and it was dispatched rather easily. And well. And now something's already happening for you in every second. It's happening in a divine harmony. See, he's experienced it too. And you're aware of it. You're just watching things go on around you. Your hands are moving, your legs are moving. Sometimes it's still. Then your body moves. But you don't move it. You're aware that you're not moving it. Something is moving you. And then you say, can it be that Christ is living my life? It can be, and it is. And the reason Christ is living your life is because you are Christ. Now, isn't that exactly what Joel said to do back in the 30s? And Herb said to do back in the 90s? And I'm saying to do here in this split second, 2023? You've attained that level which is not personal. You've attained the impersonal life. Incidentally, that was one of the first books I ever read, The Impersonal Life. It's a good book, even now. But you're still what you were. People still look at you and call you by the same name, but you've changed. Your your motor now has more power, more direction, more finality. It has authority, and it isn't imposing its authority on anyone. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. What is this wonderful thing called spirit that operates below the eye level, but it operates with total love, total harmony in any situation, and you have nothing to do with it? You're like riding on a crest of a wave, and then you'll know you're in spirit. And spirit doesn't come about by your effort, by your physical effort or by your brain. It's that extra dimension that provides all sorts of activities that somehow just go in and out and weave a structure all independent of you. Suddenly you realize that you're not in time. I haven't been aware of time. The road before you is straightened out. The bumps are out of it. Spirit is your guide and your companion and your being. A day like that, and you sit back and wonder, how did it happen? What kind of a day? How can I duplicate it? They're all going to be that way eventually. And things that no man can accomplish in the normal day are accomplished by the spiritual man without effort. Now, that's not entirely true. The effort is in remembering. There was a time in my life where I said probably 300 times a day, "Thy will be done. It's your ball game. It's your show. Show me what to do. Give me the power to do it." And I probably said that more than 300 times in a day. And so the effort was in praying without ceasing, because I had been told by this inner voice, God doesn't need your prayer. God already is. You need to pray in order to let God is, in order to remember to let God. And I believed that voice when I heard it. I wrote it down. I practiced it as a principle. My effort is in remembering to let go. My effort is in prayer. My effort is in remembering to meditate. My effort is once an hour, take a breath and let it out. Thy will be done. That's enough right there to be living in the harmony of Christ. So it's not entirely effortless. Yes, it's true. Things that no man can accomplish in that normal day are accomplished by the spiritual man without effort. See, your effort is not in accomplishing things. Your effort is in remembering, I and the Father are one. Without looking forward or backward, just following the need of the moment. And there's a continuity. There are no gaps. Everything is fulfilled in divine order. The law changes to grace. And when it's working with you, it makes possible a new way of life that never tires you out. And Herb says, you go through the flesh in the water pots. The flesh is changed. And lo, it isn't flesh at all. It comes out spirit, which is the wine. Our goal is to find this delicate automation called grace, which regulates the universe of God. And when you're nestled in it, you have no responsibility for your life. No, the responsibility is on His shoulders. when you are nestled in it. You have to have the conscious awareness of it. Here's the line that separates the adults from the children. You have to have the conscious awareness of spirit, grace, living this harmonious, effortless life, except for the effort within, to remember to remain effortless. Now, the children, they listen to these words, or pick up this book and read these words, or some other words, and because they have them memorized and they can repeat them when they sit down to meditate, they think that they are living this life. But you and I know, because we are the adults here, we know that it has to be deeper than that. There has to be the conscious awareness, the feeling of this presence, of this spirit, of this Christ. And then there has to be a bearing witness as it goes before you and opens doors. There has to be a feeling that you're walking in synchronicity with Christ, with God, and you're an observer, you're bearing witness to what's happening, you're walking in harmony, and you know it. You're walking in Christ, and you know it, because you feel it, you see it, you sense it. This is called spiritual discernment. You're able to discern these things. You're not thinking them anymore. You're discerning them. God's life, God lives God's life, and it appears as you. So you know God's life doesn't die. It appears in a new form, and then a new form, and then a body of light. A mortal cannot live on the fifth plane. That's why we slowly find ourselves changing bodies, because the fifth plane demands an immortal body. Even the fifth plane on, you'll never see mortality again. Yeah, from the fifth plane on, you'll never see mortality again. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we're all headed for this fifth plane now, here, in this incarnation. Before you enter the fifth plane, you will have a fairly good feeling about where you're going and why. I don't have to be concerned about it. It's being handled by the Father. But your mind will not be there. It will not be a mind, because the mind is excess baggage. Your Christ mind will be there, and it will always outpicture Christ activity. Okay, so what is this Christ mind? Well, we've been discussing it. Your mind, which comes out and tries to calm you down when you sit down to meditate, that's the child mind. That mind will not be coming with you. You have to leave that outside the door. Oh, yes, you pick it up again when you're sitting down to pay your taxes or balance your checkbook. But you're living by the Christ mind. It is the Christ mind that acts through and as spiritual discernment. That's the mind you're in when you sense the presence. That's the mind you're in when you behold, and you live as a beholder, and you bear witness to Christ going before you. That's the mind you're in when you see the harmony of spirit and you're walking in it. That's the mind you're in when you're in synchronicity. That's the mind you're in when you're an instrument for my love. That's the mind you're going to stay in when you attain the fifth level. And when you walk out of here, that's the mind you'll walk out with. So, he says, then our spirit and soul will co-create the full identity of the Son of God. Everything you do now makes possible the fulfillment in the now of seeing that you are the complete whole Christ. Every little thing you do that will not be a part of the Christ is unreal, and it will be burned away by the furnace, where whatever we don't need in our future home as the Christ is burned away. And so you start cooperating rather than waiting to find out. Oh, Christ doesn't need that third home. Christ doesn't need that fourth car. Christ doesn't need this or that. You become a simple person. Quite simple, it appears. Because the Christ already has everything the Christ needs. And then you start to say, well, if the Christ has everything the Christ needs, and I am the Christ, then I have. It doesn't look like it, but I must have. And then you start to realize that the things you don't see, you have. And your entire attitude changes. You're not seeking those things. You're not seeking to acquire. You have. You remember the blind man? He didn't know he had sight. Christ showed us that the sight was in him. Everything that you need but don't see, you already have. Because Christ has everything. Christ is complete, whole. And I, being Christ, am complete, whole. You must fill the difference with faith. This is what happens as you go along and permit the Spirit of God to fill your whole being. You find that grace picks everything out of the infinite and deposits it at your door. And this is true. All of these talks, all of Herb's talks, I never sought any of them. They came to me from people all over the world. And they came in the form of cassettes. I had several myself. I had the entire Revelation series for one. And they came in reel-to-reel tapes. So it became evident I needed a reel-to-reel player, and I hadn't had one of those in 40 or 50 years. So I went on eBay and I found a TIAC reel-to-reel. And then I tracked down how to get it to play into my computer, what hardware I needed, what wires. And I played some of his talks into my computer and I recorded them, turned them into MP3s, and then I put them on a website. Now, I didn't know when these tapes started coming to me that I was going to be the website where everybody all over the world could listen to Herb. But I played the talks into my computer and listened while I played, and oh my, they were wonderful. They were as clear as if Herb was sitting right there next to me. And sometimes he was. Anyway, I played them. They were wonderful. I knew that I had to share them. And so as soon as Mary Fitch said, I don't care what you do with them, I put them up. Always for free. Now, Amazon has a problem with me having books for free, so they make me put a price on them. So I put four bucks on the eBay one, I mean on the ebook ones, and whatever it was they told me I had to charge for the paperbacks. So Amazon and Barnes and Noble, they don't want to do all that for free. they want some money for doing all that. So I think I may get $1 a book, I don't know. But it would take me a long time to make up the thousands of dollars I've spent in publishing these books. I would have to have thousands and thousands of books sell because I only get $1 a book or about that. All right. In any given month, I make, $25 maybe. A good month, I'll make $30. So I didn't do it because I was trying to sell books. I wanted to give away the books, and you can find many of them in PDF form on the website for free. No, I did it because people like to hold a book in their hands, and I do too. All right, so I didn't know why these tapes were coming to me. And now, as I hold this newest book in my hands, New Dimensions in Healing, I see what a wonderful thing it was to turn the talks into book form. So, you see, that was my mission at the time. Spirit got a hold of me and said, here, and all of a sudden I had 150 reel-to-reel tapes. And our good friend Lori got the tapes, and she put them in order, and they're at her house. And I'll bet you she can make CDs out of them. Okay, let's see. The things we worry about, the things we think we need, are not the things we need. Because when we have grace living our life, that's when we have the things we need. The real needs, the needs that come and are fulfilled by the Spirit, are already established. Right now, everyone in this room is complete in Christ, if they have Christ. If they are asleep to Christ, naturally, that appears as a lack, a deficiency. But there's no deficiency in Christ. And if you're awake and accepting Christ, then the you that needs these things is not there. And that's when all things are accomplished effortlessly. See, there it is again. God doesn't need your prayer. When you're not there, when you have prayed for yourself to remember not to be there, that's when things are accomplished effortlessly. You know what Christ can do, and you know the Christ can do it in an instant. And then you finally know that Christ has done all these things Christ must do for perfection. Paul was an exponent of eternal life. He was aware that eternal life was his. He was aware that his students had to learn it. And he was aware that every student had the capacity to learn that eternal life was the only life in the universe. Anything else was counterfeit. When you're living in mortality, it's a counterfeit life. And it appears to come to an end. I was in the room when they were wheeling Madeline's mortal body out. And I can tell you, she was long gone. She was not there. Or if she was, she was invisibly looking. But when you live in this life of standing in the presence and watching it go before you, well, the presence is living your life. Christ is living your life. Just as we have accepted temporary life, now we learn to accept eternal life. And when this presence is living your life, eternal life is living you. Eternal life is the nature of the essence of God, the Spirit. It is not the nature of material life. And graduating from material to the essence of Spirit, or Spirit of God, we graduate from temporary life to permanent life. Once touching eternal life, that's the nature of our life forever. There is no one here who won't attain eternal life. So he had 165. And I had a friend that asked him how many students he had worldwide, and I think he said it was around 200. I can't remember. He could have said 250, but I have no idea. It was so long ago. It was 60 years ago. Anyway, we have in our group 215. And I can say the same thing. There is no one here who won't attain eternal life. If you practice these principles, these mystical principles, I am eternal life. I didn't have to become good to be eternal life. It is what God granted each of us. And then, when you accept it all, the limitations that temporary life place upon you are removed, renounced. It all bursts like a bubble. Do you feel your life in other realms right now? Do you know that it is in other realms right now? We're not in eternal life in the visible, but you can feel the nature of it. And when you touch this truth within yourself, that the essence of God, that I am coming into here, is precisely what the essence of God is in the kingdom of God. I'm feeling it at this level. And when I feel it at a higher level, it feels differently. But I'm aware of something at that higher level that I will one day discover that I am in now. And when I enter this higher realm, it's like entering what I already have a knowledge of. So we are slowly being built into that knowledge of what eternal life is. Now then, with this awareness of eternal life as my present life now, I can live now a little differently than I thought I could. And if I don't know how, the Christ knows how. And the Christ knowing that I must live on this higher level prepares me in a way that I cannot prepare myself. Christ does everything necessary. It transmutes all of your understandings, all of your beliefs. It prepares the way for you. If things feel strange but wonderful, that's part of your preparation. So that when you say, "Now I am ready," something in you will tell you that the Spirit has completed the preparation. You can now walk into the kingdom of God. The elevator of your consciousness will be rising. That's just wonderful. I should put that on a sticky note and put it on my mirror. The elevator of your consciousness will be rising. I love that. something comes along in your life and you can't do it. You just can't. You can't do it. Relax a moment and know that the Christ of your being can do it. I had an experience like that 2 days ago. We had the service for Madeline, and I had to get up and talk, and there were quite a number of people there. Looked like 100-something. And I was thinking, I'll never make it through this. And then I remembered what he says here. The Christ of your being can do it. And so I got quiet. And when the pastor asked if anyone else wanted to say something, I raised my hand and I got up and I talked for about 5 minutes or 7 minutes, whatever it was. And I made it through. And I had the help of my daughter, who came up and put her hand on my shoulder as I was speaking and sort of helped me center. Anyway, I know this for a fact. The Christ of your being can do it. And he says, learn to drop the feelings of mortality that rise up when tasks become too difficult. And learn that Christ can absorb any demand made upon it, provided the demand is a spiritual one. Anything you request is already on the waves of spirit before you request it. And the answer is coming back to you before the request gets out of your mouth. Sometimes you haven't the ability to see the answers right in the airwaves around you. But always the thing you need is being placed before you in the invisible by the Christ, which is ever attentive to every need. We will be given every need met. The bread will be passed around and we will discover that it is the life of Christ. And we will discover that in that life there is my soul and my soul and my soul. We're all part of the bread of life. Each one has built-in miracle worker, and you must learn to trust it. It won't turn itself on or off because it's running through eternity. Yes, that's another good point, another good principle, another good mystical principle, and that is, God already is. Your job is not to turn God on or off, not to turn on the Spirit, turn on the Presence. It's already where you are. Your job is to become consciously aware of it. And this you do by praying without ceasing. Joel called it, he said, you must have an area of your consciousness which is always attentive, always receptive, always listening. And then you will hear. You need to listen so that you can hear. So that you can have fellowship with Christ. A new relationship begins between the Son and the Father, and the Son goes forth completely secure in the fact that the Father's love accompanies him wherever he goes. That must be your sign that you live in the kingdom, no matter where you go or what you do. The love of God goes with you. Everyone becomes a pure channel for the love of God. Remember, when you face your patient, never think of yourself as being alone on the job, to do the job. You're going to a patient who needs the love of God, and you are the envoy. There's nothing can stop it from flowing from you into the patient. awakening the love that is already in him, and coming forth as an individual who has been healed by some power that he knows not of, which you know is the love of Christ. And that reminds me of that dream, the dream I had. In the dream, I went into a library, or no, it was a bookstore. I went into a bookstore. And, of course, I went over to the spiritual books section. And there was a man sitting on the ground. And he had sores all over his body. And I sat down next to him. And we were just talking along, and suddenly I felt the presence in my hip. And it flowed out and into him. I could feel it. And he said, "What is that? What is that?" And I said, "That's the presence. That's God. That's Christ." And he seemed to settle down. And I woke up a little while after that. And I brought that up because we are the instruments for Christ's love. Christ is the center of everyone's being. Do the same. Forgive as the Father forgives. Love as the Father loves. Be with each individual a light, a treasure, a sign of God present. And let that individual walk away healed by God. Now, the world won't know what's coming at them. But this is the love of God. This is a divine effort. Okay, so that's the end of side one. Side two is rather short, so that's good because we're short on time. Let's just flow right into it here. Or if you want, we can be silent for a moment. Herb says, on side two, what so often happens is that we have a good seminar, and I think this was a good one. Then people go home, and the next thing you know, they're caught up into the swirl of activity. The seminar becomes something they think of as a real nice place. We had a good building, we met some nice people. And then in 2 months, it becomes a sort of a memory, and it thins out. Other people, I think the rare ones, have a seminar all the way home, and when they get there, they're still in it, and then they put it to work. Yes, they practice the mystical principles. He says, this is a healing seminar. But as you see, it was a healing of ourselves as well as the people we were going to heal. What has happened is that we have renewed our faith in the Father. Faith can be large or small, and our faith in the Father has to be infinite. There is nothing that is wrong in God's universe. Nothing needs repairs. And knowing this, our job is to come to that level of consciousness which lives on a par with the Father. Now you remember, they took up stones to kill the Master because he made himself equal with God. I and the Father are one, and he was showing you the mystical principle you need to practice. And then 2,000 years later, in the 30s, Joel was telling you the same principle. And in the 90s, Herb was telling you the same principle. And in the 2023s, Bill is telling you the same principle. Anytime you do not feel like God, that is, you don't feel the presence, then we are feeling unlike God, and those times are the times that we are stepping down in consciousness. You cannot feel like God or unlike God at the same time. You feel one or the other. And every time we digress into being unlike God, that's the time we digress into mortality. The Father demands that the Son be like the Father. All that I have is thine. How can you have all of the Father if the Father is separate from you? And then when you realize the Father is not separate from me, not apart from me, can you truly reach that realization without wanting to do something wonderful to show the Father? Yes. And I thought, what can I give God who has everything? And then I realized, I can give God myself. I can give God my Christ self. Because he doesn't have that until I give it to him. And so I gave it to him. And I found a place where it could dwell. And I called it Mystical Principles. And it was wonderful. I know you are my being, Father. I know we are one. I know I am the light. Wherever you are, I am. Wherever I am, you are. I have never denied you. I never will. When you can feel this in you, isn't there a surge of triumph or victory? What can happen in a life that is so welded to God that it will live in a seamless garment? The I in the midst of me is God, and he can do anything in the universe. He'll spring up in the middle of the ocean, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the flood, in the midst of the hurricane. God is. When you find that to be true, so that your faith is deeper than the skin, but it makes your soul vibrate, then you are ready to go forth and accomplish your mission in life. That was one of the last things Madeline said to me. You haven't yet completed your mission. That's why you're still here. So, we plug along with Mystical Principles and see what opens up effortlessly. Now, he says, what is your mission? Feed the hungry, heal the sick, raise the dead, let your light shine. But what is your mission? What are you establishing as the central focus of what you are to do? Well, he says, have a conversation with the Father and tell him what you have decided your mission is. That's kind of scary. If it's the mortal that decided, it's not going to work at all. So, I would say that just a little differently. I would say, go to the Father with what you believe is your mission and ask him, is this my mission? He says, ask for his approval. Ask for his approval. If he turns you down, look at it again and see if the mission you have selected is really doing the Father's work. It may be and it may not be. Give him the final option to decide through you that this is what I must do. The Father will be right where you are, and what you use to perform that mission will be protected by the Father's presence. Yes, when it's grace living your life, all of these other things are taken care of without effort, effortlessly. Oh, he says, it may not be a grandiose mission. You may be a housewife in a small town, just smiling at the neighbors going by, appearing in the store, being at the Sunday meeting, not very big, but if the Father told you, it's big. It's what you've got to do at this point, and you'll find that you get to be a very firm believer in only doing what the Father has approved, because that's only what is protected. It carries with it the law of grace. No weapon used against you shall prosper. And he will perfect that which concerneth me. And the Lord will do that which is appointed for me to do. Sometimes we really hear strange things when we ask for permission. We may not even be able to interpret it right at the moment, but everything you get has a meaning, and I assure you that when your course has been established by the Father, you had better follow it. I had a meditation in 1972, I had a meditation. I was meditating on Thy Will Be Done. And I felt the overshadowing of God. And I went to Don, my first teacher, and told him about it. And he said, oh, I wish you would wait a little while on that. He said, because you don't know what you're praying for. And he was right. I didn't know what I was praying for. And so I prayed, Thy will be done, and the next thing I knew, my wife was taken. Her name was April, and she ran off with another guy. And I asked for it. I was praying for Thy will to be done. And His will was not for me to be dependent on another human being. His will was for me to know how to love without having to have. And so Herb says, your talents are divine, and you must pursue a mission which matches your divine talents. And nobody knows as well as the Father what you must do. Do you realize that if everyone in the world were equipped to select the things they're going to do in their life by this method? Equipped, really? That everyone would be on a divine mission? And our paths would not cross, our paths would not conflict, our paths would be so that we would interweave and help each other and add to each other's mission, and all would be successful, and a successful people are a happy people. Every child of God has a mission. There's no exception, but I do know this, that you must find the kingdom of God on earth. You must locate it, and you must step in it, and you must utilize the faculties that are divine. You must wake up. You must help your neighbor to wake up. You must help build the divine network on earth so that everything that the Father teaches goes through you and through the network. The wider, the more amplified, the more the world will then be transformed by the Spirit of God. We are now in the transformation process. We must all help widen the process. We must receive the news and spread the news. And the news is that you are the Christ, and you are the Christ, and you are the Christ, and we are all the Christ of God. The beggar on the street is the Christ, and you teach this in your quiet way, and you teach it by proving it, and you teach it by exposing the untruth that blocks the way, and you can consider that your mission, always without ceasing. When you're told to pray without ceasing, the real meaning would be, you are the Christ. Don't ever be anything but the Christ, and you have completed your prayer. But without ceasing, be the Christ. I believe, he says, our seminar might be over, and that we can all thank each other for a job well done. We have come with a purpose, we have fulfilled that purpose. We have done the Father's work, each of us. Let's hope we continue to do so. To each of you, love, blessings, and thank you. And then everybody applauded. And that brings us to the end of our study of New Dimensions in Healing. I hope in today's talk you learned the difference between living out from mortality and walking in the presence and being a beholder as it goes before you. You know, you can let God into your finances. You can let God into your relationships. And you can let God into your form. Not this form in the chair, the invisible, incorporeal form of Christ. The one that's walking around, going before you. The one you're learning to dwell in, and let it dwell in you. And that's really what we're doing. We're rising to the fifth level, where we can behold, bear witness, and discern our Christ life living itself, going before us, pouring out a blessing, pouring out its love effortlessly. Thank you, everyone, for drawing out this talk. I was a little worried if we could make an hour, and here we are at an hour and 7 minutes. So I guess I'll wrap it up now. Thank you. I love you. Please practice the mystical principles. That's what they're here for, to teach you to enter the fifth level. Okay.